Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Evangelize for Life. Look, today's episode is important concerning the truth. Please call and join the discussion at 646-200-4203. Again, 646-200-4203. Now here's Evangelist Stephen Glover.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to welcome each and every one of our listeners to our very first broadcast. But before we get started, I'd like to first give thanks to our producer, Robin Glover, our sound and music editor, Gabriella Glover, and you just heard from our audio producer, Noah Glover. Today we're going to look at a topic that I believe many of you are familiar with. It appears that truth is the new hate speech. And let me say that again. It appears that truth is the new hate speech. And we're going to respond to some of the comments that have been made at my alma mater, Liberty University, which is a wonderful school. But there appears to be some controversy brewing right now because Mitt Romney has been invited to be the commencement speaker. Now, I'm scheduled to graduate from the seminary this May 12th of 2012. However, I've decided not to attend for a very for the reason based on 2 John verses 7 through 11. Now, we'll get to those verses here in a minute. But this was posted on a blog that my wife had initiated, and we're going to look at some of the responses from of the Liberty alumni and some of the comments they have made in response to this statement my wife made on the blog. She writes, "I am so disappointed in my dear LVU." She is also an alumni. "My husband was scheduled to march in for his master's in religion from the seminary. Now we will not be attending. Why? It's because Mitt Romney is the commencement speaker." Now, it's interesting that the reason why I've chosen not to attend the graduation, and again, it's my decision, is based on 2 John chapter 2. Now, let's go to that verse. If you're with me, you're following along. Go to 2 John, verse 7 through 11. And this is what the Bible says. Now, again, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, right? And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. So as believers, we are called by God to live according to his word. And if something conflicts with God's word, then we are to shun it. We are to reject it. And that's the sermon. So based on 2 John verse 7, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. And the one who abides in the teaching, he has both God, the Father, and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Now, very clearly, I think Scripture tells us how we should respond to Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, he, you know, is a Mormon. He's very open about his faith. And what many people don't know is that Mitt Romney is also a participant or feels that he is in the process of fulfilling the great white horse prophecy that is taught within the Mormon Church. Now, here are some comments based on what I read earlier regarding what my wife had posted on her Facebook. These are some of the comments from some of the Liberty students. This was posted by Rashad Brown, who said, in response to someone else who had written, "Governor Romney may not stand for all the things we who desire in a candidate as Christ followers, but he has much more common ground with what we stand for as believers than does the current president. What facts do you have to prove this statement? Just curious," and he says, "Thanks." There's another comment by Glenn Frost, who says, "LU isn't a church as Romney isn't running for pastor. Jerry Jr.'s judgment isn't any different here than Jerry Sr.," and he's going back to the many of his college days in the early 80s. "And the university isn't endorsing his faith any more or less than Ted Kennedy or many of the other speakers that we've had." That was a comment by Glenn Frost. Here's another comment by Joshua Brander. He says, "By the way, the Constitution does not say anything about separation of church and state. The phrase is, 'Congress shall make no law respecting any establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.' I think for the most part, everyone that participated in the drafting and ratification of the Constitution identified themselves as Christian. What they did not want as to have an official state church like the Church of England and all the problems that go along with such an institution. I agree with Glenn. They are in a direct way endorsing a conservative candidate, which is in line with what the school has historically done. I think GOP platform on social issues is in line with Christian beliefs and values." And that was by Joshua Branner. Now, in response to the multitude of blogs that my wife has gotten, I decided that I would respond to some of the comments because they, for the most part, they were similar to that. And most alumni there at Liberty have no problem with Mitt Romney being there. And that would also include Glenn Beck and some of the other Mormons who have come before. And this is my comment, and you guys are more than welcome to join me. You can call in. You can call in at 646-200-4203. Now, this was my statement. "Hello, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I address you in the manner because we are first followers of Jesus Christ and second alumni of Liberty University. My wife expressed on this blog my disappointment with Dr. Falwell's choice of commencement speakers. The reason why we are against this election has little or nothing to do with Mr. Romney's candidacy, personality, nationality, and etc. However, it has everything to do with testing the spirits to see whether they are from God. I am a graduate of Liberty's Bible Institute, undergraduate, and also the seminary. I've been taught or instructed over the years by wonderful and distinguished professors to use Scripture to make decisions. This current situation is not different. The Bible says, 'Examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil.' In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 to 22. This passage is calling believers to use discernment, and if it doesn't coincide with the Bible, then it is to be shunned. Those of you who are in favor or support of this election should be aware of the great white horse prophecy. This prophecy is taught by the Mormon Church. Though unspoken of publicly, world domination is the goal of each and every Mormon. This agenda is well known and is being implemented or practiced by Governor Romney, Glenn Beck, and Mormons who currently make up our Senate, Congress, FBI, CIA, and the like." Now, many of you don't understand or don't know that there are more Mormons, who practice the Mormon faith in the CIA, in the FBI, in the Senate, and in the Congress than any other religion. Now, I got this information from Wikipedia, which is out there for anybody to look up. And the reason why I selected that, because of its accessibility. And Wikipedia writes this about the Great White Horse Prophecy that is promoted through the Mormon Church. It says, the White Horse Prophecy refers to a statement purported to have been made in 1843 by Joseph Smith, Jr. He's the founder of the Latter-day Saints movement. And he's writing in regards to the future of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and the United States of America. Now, this is what he said. The Latter-day Saints, according to the prophecy, would go to the Rocky Mountains and be a great and mighty people. Now, that's what they did. They migrated to Utah and the surrounding areas and have expanded since then. Identified figuratively with the white horse description in the Revelation of John, prophecy further predicts that the United States Constitution will one day hang by a thread and will be saved by the efforts of the white horse. Now, according to this particular prophecy, it goes on to say, some have speculated on the basis of the white horse prophecy that Mormons expect the United States to eventually become a bureaucracy dominated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, obviously, this is part of what they're teaching within the Mormon Church. So those who are in the CIA, those who are in the FBI, those who are in the Senate, and those who are in the Congress are all moving towards this particular prophecy. And it's all based on world domination, no different than what you find in the teaching of Islam or in the Quran. The whole purpose of when you read the Quran is world domination, and you have similar prophecy or similar agenda found in the Mormon Church. He later goes on, and it says this from the Wikipedia statement, the authenticity of the prophecy as a whole, which was not made public until long after Smith's death, is debated. And the leadership of the LDS Church has stated that the so-called White Horse Prophecy is not embraced as church doctrine. So what they're saying is that we don't necessarily embrace that publicly, but privately they do. And it's very similar to Islam, where when you read in Surah chapter 3, that it says that Allah is the greatest deceiver. It's okay to deceive if you're a Muslim as long as it reaches the overall objective of Islam. So it's okay to lie publicly and say, no, we don't believe that, but as long as it's reaching the overall objective of Mormonism or Islam, it's okay to lie. He later goes on to say, however, the belief that members of the LDS Church will one day need to take action to save the imperiled U.S. Constitution has been attributed to Smith in several sources and has been discussed in an approving fashion by Brigham Young and LDS leaders. There will be many people at the commencement who are completely unaware of this secret agenda and will unknowingly vote for someone described Scripture as a deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, that is my comment, and I just read that from 2 John, verse 7, that the Bible describes Mitt Romney as a deceiver and as an Antichrist. And I'm going to get into that here in a minute and explain to you from the Fast Facts of False Teaching written by Ron Carlson and Ed Decker, who outline what the Mormons believe. And you'll find and you'll hear that they reject the teaching of the Bible, the very fundamentals of the Bible. And as we just read in one of the verses, that we are to not participate in the evil deeds of anyone who rejects the fundamentals of the faith. I later go on and say this. As a result, they will be guilty of supporting this hidden agenda and will stand before God to give an account for their decision. The Bible says, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. So my responsibility is what I'm saying here as a watchman, as a believer, is to sound the alarm, because what you have is a wolf entering into the flock, entering into the fold in sheep's clothing. He's entered into the camp, and according to Ephesians chapter 4, I believe, is it 4 or 5, verse 11, that we are not to participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but indeed, instead, we are to expose them. Now, based on 2 John chapter 7, As I read earlier, the habitual denial of the undiminished deity and humanity of Christ, this is what places Mitt Romney, Glenn Beck, or any other Mormon in the category of an antichrist, because they're denying the truth and the nature of Jesus Christ. And Jesus very clearly said in John chapter 8, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. What does he mean, believe? What does he mean by believe that I am he? Believe in the death, the burial, the resurrection, the atonement, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He's very clear that unless you believe that, then you will die in your sins. Now, what does the Mormonism teach? Mormons teach, according to the fast facts of false teaching, as I mentioned earlier, Mormons teach that trillions of planets scattered throughout the cosmos are ruled by countless gods who were once human like us. Now, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not what we find in Scripture. But that is one of the fundamental teachings of the Mormon faith. Another thing that they teach is that through obedience to Mormon teaching, death, and resurrection, he proved himself worthy and was elevated to godhood as his father before him. This is referring to, let me go back a little bit. They say that not long ago, on one of these planets, to an unidentified god and one of his goddess's wives, a spirit child named Elohim was conceived. This child was later born to human parents who gave him a physical body. Through obedience to Mormon teaching, death, and resurrection, he proved himself worthy and was elevated to godhood as his father before him. Mormons believe that the Elohim is the Heavenly Father and that he lives with his many wives on the planet near a mysterious star called Kolob. Here, the God of Mormonism and his wives, through an endless celestial sex, produced billions of spiritual children. To decide their destiny, the head of the Mormon gods called a great heavenly council meeting. Both of Elohim's eldest sons were there, Lucifer and his brother Jesus. Now, this is not the God of the Bible. This is not the teaching of Scripture. And when you look in verse 8 of 2 John, you know, a reward is spoken of and it is given for hospitality. We are, as Christians, we are to be hospitable and we are to entertain strangers. But according to this verse, you can lose your reward and it all can be removed if you are participating in or associating with any person who does not discriminate or fellowship on the basis of the adherence of the truth. Mitt Romney falls into that category. He does not believe the inerrancy of Scripture. Obviously, he follows the Book of the Mormon. Obviously, he follows the teaching of the Mormon Church. So this is a warning here in verse 8. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what you have accomplished, but you have received a full reward. Here's a warning that there is a potential a threat of losing your reward for abiding or abetting any false teacher. Now, when you look in verse 9, God is saying a failure to be faithful to the fundamentals of the faith, to sound doctrine, this is an issue. We are not to entertain people who disagree with us on not minor matters, but these are crucial fundamentals of the teachings of the Bible. And we are to not, what fellowship, the Bible says, with Christ and Baal? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Because this man is going to stand before a thousand, and I'm pretty sure, based on what I said earlier, that someone will vote for him. And in fact, they will be participating in his fulfillment of the great white throne prophecy. Now, when we look at verse 10, it says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, you are not to receive them into your house. You are not to entertain people who disagree with us. This particular campaign that Romney is on will destroy the basic fundamental truths of Christianity. If we allow and support him, and actually by sitting on stage and by inviting him, we are in fact participating in his deed. This, we should disassociate ourselves from such heretics. We are not to participate because these things are not permissible according to Scripture, and this is not hate speech. Because some of the emails I've read say that this is hate speech, and because of these things, and because of our stance on Scripture, this causes division, or this causes people to turn away from Christianity. But understand this, this man has already rejected the faith. He has already rejected the truth. And in fact, it is becoming more and more difficult for Mitt Romney, Glenn Beck, and many of these individuals to come to the truth because of the fact they have hardened their hearts and they'd rather have believed a lie instead of believing the truth. Now, one of the things that I'm curious and I'm wondering is that is this part of this delusion that 2 Thessalonians speaks of regarding the last days? That because men will not come to the knowledge of the truth, because they will not believe the truth, the Bible tells us that God will give them over to a strong delusion. He says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, so to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a delusion, deluding influence, so that they might believe what is false, in order that they may be judged, or in order that all may be judged, who did not believe the truth, who took pleasure in wickedness. So did Romney.